Welcome to another edition of Critical Thinking. I'm your host and producer for this series, Andrew Pettner. This morning on WFMT, I realized that I had an intro for tonight's program, the second in our ongoing series, Who's Afraid of Milton Babbitt? Looking at the work, the music, the life of a great American composer, theorist, teacher, raconteur, influence. Milton Babbitt died in Princeton, where he had lived for many, many years, at 94 in late January, just less than 3 months ago, but active right up until the end. And for this second program, I realized, hearing this morning Carl Grapentine playing some guitar pieces by Hector Villa-Lobos, that if Carl had said these pieces are by Milton Babbitt before he played them, people might have said, oh my gosh, those were so modern and they were freakish. And if last month when we offered Who's Afraid of Milton Babbitt Part 1, I had said before we played some Babbitt acoustic guitar piece, this is by Hector Villa-Lobos, people would have said, oh, it had a jazzy feel. It was so lively and it so involved me. Obviously, I'm underscoring the fear factor. I'm underscoring the way we preconceive things about music. If someone tells us we're going to be hearing Beethoven, we have one set of reactions. If someone tells us that we're going to be hearing John Cage, we have another. And sometimes what we just have to do is listen to the music as much as possible on its own terms. We can like it, we can dislike it, we can learn to love it, we can get tired of it, but we should take it for what it is and not necessarily accept a category of thought about a work. I thought we'd walk through today selections of various chamber music and solo piano music by Babbitt, and we would look mostly at work from the 50s, one short piece from the 60s, and then one vocal chamber work from the early 80s. Babbitt was composing actively all of his life. He launched his modern period, the period that we think of as Babbitt, first with a theoretical study in 1946 when he was 30, and then with compositions in 1947 and 48 when he was 31 and 2, three compositions for piano and composition for four instruments and composition for 12 instruments. In a very brief nutshell, what Babbitt was trying to do was deeply understand the idea of 12-tone music, that is, of pre-planned composition using the 12 notes of the scale and giving them equal weight and value, studying that deeply, Schoenberg's ideas, and seeing what other ways he could find to combine those notes, and then adding the idea, what then became known as serialism, as in a serial. We used to have serials on TV, the soap operas, they seem to be coming to an end. S-E-R-I-A-L, a sequential set. Serialism developed coincidentally by Pierre Boulez and others in France and by Babbitt here, where in addition to looking at the way to assign pitches, you're also looking at the way to plan out the assignment of timbre, rhythm, and other non-pitch aspects. That's the end of the lecture. That's where Babbitt started, and he kept going from there, always, though, injecting and inflecting with humor, warmth, and personality, I believe, in his music. So we're first going to hear two very brief piano works from 1956. They're played by Robert Taub, T-A-U-B, a longtime champion of Babbitt's works. They were recorded for Harmonia Mundi back in 1985 at the Church of the Holy Trinity in Manhattan. We're going to hear duet. It's just about half a minute. And then we're going to hear the semi-simple variations, just over a minute, 5/6 measure variation. So we're going to hear them back to back. First, the duet, a slight pause, and then semi-simple variations, piano works of Milton Babbitt performed by Peter Taub. First duet, and then semi-simple variations, piano music of Milton Babbitt, both pieces from 1956. 1957, he takes these ideas and he goes a bit deeper. I'm going to see if I can post some score pages on the website to give you an idea of how these things are planned out, the way you might plan out chess moves or a diagram to build something. He does this in a piece, still brief, under 2 minutes, called Partitions. And then in 1966, he has some additional ideas on how to break this apart and put it back together, and he calls that work Post-Partitions. So here we have a 2-minute work and an almost 4-minute work. Again, Robert Taub at the piano, Milton Babbitt, Partitions, 1957, Post-Partitions, 1966. Thank you. Partitions, 1957, and Post-Partitions, 1966. Robert Taub, the pianist, recorded in 1985 in New York for French Harmonia Mundi. We're going to go back a couple of years to Babbitt's Quartet No. 6. Babbitt wrote six string quartets, as Elliot Carter did. He withdrew his first quartet. It wasn't in the realm that he wanted. The second remains a landmark work, and it would be great to see a series of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, such as Pacifica has done with the Carter quartets. This is the second quartet from 1954, a famous recording made for Nonesuch in 1973, re-released just a few years ago on CD by John Zorn, downtown music saxophone, jazz, ethnomusicology, new music, etc., John Zorn, on his Tzadik, Wise Man, label. And this was the Composer's Quartet, sometimes known as the Composer's String Quartet. They were New England-based from the mid-60s through the mid-90s. This is the second edition of the quartet, with the viola and cello having rotated to new players. Matthew Raimondi, Anahid Ajemian, Jean Dupuy, Michael Rudiakov, violin, violin, viola, cello. The second quartet in one movement by Milton Babbitt. It runs 13 minutes, and here we have it. Thank you. The One Movement Quartet Number 2, 1952 through 1954, of Milton Babbitt, from a 1973 recording by the Composers Quartet, Matthew Raimondi, Anahid Ajemian, Jean Dupuy, and Michael Rudiakov, in that incarnation, re-released recently on CD on the Tzadik, T-Z-A-D-I-K, Tzadik label of John Zorn, from that remarkable first decade of Milton Babbitt's 65-year professional career. I'm Andrew Pattner. You're listening to Critical Thinking on 98.7 WFMT in Chicago and over WFMT.com via free streaming or our always free podcast at WFMT.com, WFMT.com/Critical Thinking for the podcast. This is the second in our ongoing series, Who's Afraid of Milton Babbitt? Listening to music and on other programs, looking at other work by and about Milton Babbitt, the American composer, educator, theorist, influence who died in late January at the age of 94. In fact, he would have been 95 in just a couple of weeks. And the Juilliard School in New York, one of the two major institutions that he had his major affiliation with, the other being Princeton, and he lived and died in Princeton. Princeton University and the Juilliard School. Juilliard will be presenting its memorial concert service remembrance in New York Tuesday, the 3rd of May at 5 o'clock in their Peter J. Sharp Theater. Remarks from colleagues and performances by a number of former students and colleagues of Babbitt's, including Robert Taub, whom we heard from earlier, the wonderful soprano Lucy Shelton. You often hear her in and around Chicago or over the airwaves. And Judith Bettina. We're going to be hearing the singing side of Judith Bettina. She'll be offering remembrances at this program. If you will be in New York on Tuesday, the 3rd of May, this would be the place to be, Juilliard School, 5 o'clock, remembering Milton Babbitt. Well, Judith Bettina, we mentioned she is the soprano soloist in this recording of Head of the Bed. Head of the Bed is a work for soprano and chamber ensemble. It was commissioned of Babbitt in 1981 by the Chamber Music Society of Baltimore, and it was composed for Phyllis Brynjolfsson, a favorite singer and a favorite collaborator of Babbitt. The recording came with the Parnassus Group, founded and led by Anthony Korf, flute, clarinet, violin, and cello, Keith Underwood, Anand Devendra, Cyrus Stevens, and Chris Finkel, flute, clarinet, violin, and cello, and the wonderful soprano Judith Bettina. It was recorded in 1986 for New World Records. It is set to a poem of John Hollander from 1974 called Head of the Bed. It refers to the place of the bed, but also to the idea of the bed as a part of our heads. It's a poetic attempt, Hollander wrote at the time, to understand dreams and how dreams come from us and how they come back to us and how they might influence us. You'll recall that Hollander also wrote the text for Philomel, the marvelous piece for soprano and electronic tape, such an important work for and by Babbitt that we featured last time. So here we have recorded at RCA Studios, Studio A in New York in 1986. Head of the Bed, it's a 15-part poem and therefore a 15-part composition. It's our major work for today. It runs about 23 and a half minutes, and we'll see you on the other side.
Great aunt waited. Oh, this is like death. Stone colder in my mouth.
Head of the Bed, music by Milton Babbitt from 1981-1982. From a 1986 recording by Parnassus, directed by Anthony Korf, Keith Underwood flute, Arnand Devendra clarinet, Cyrus Stevens violin, Chris Finkel cello, and couldn't have done it without Judith Bettina, B-E-T-T-I-N-A, the soprano. Poetry by John Hollander. Music, of course, by Milton Babbitt. That's from New World Records and from the Great Recorded Anthology of American Music series, now re-released on CD. All of the music we played today is now in print and available on CD on the internet. Robert Taub's Piano Works of Milton Babbitt, the Composer's Quartet coming from a release, a compilation, Babbitt Music on the Tzadik label. The Taub is on Harmonia Mundi, and New World re-release of Head of the Bed and the Piano Concerto, Concerto for Piano and Orchestra, all of Milton Babbitt. So we hope that this has given you reason not to be afraid of the name of Milton Babbitt, and also to have an interest in his sense of play, his sense of precision, his sense of planning music that then comes off with tremendous spontaneity in performance. Milton Babbitt would have been 95 next month in New York. On May 3rd, the Juilliard School will be holding a free remembrance and concert, 5 o'clock there at Lincoln Center. If you're in New York or going to be in New York, thanks for joining us on this little journey through Babbittism. Matt DeStefano, of course, making the program sound great, putting the sounds together. We'd like to thank our funders, Alphawood Foundation, and Richard and Susan Kiphart, as well as other friends of this program. Drop us a line. Let us know what you thought about this or any of our other programs. Rentap, that's Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P at AOL.com. Visit us at our newly redesigned website, WFMT.com, and visit us at WFMT.com/critical thinking, where you can experience the Critical Thinking podcast, always free. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.